Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Whatever your question, again, the number is Randy just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be taking your calls in just a little bit. I wanted to mention our countdown clock. It has been up on the web at equip.org, and I assume it's no longer up, because Saturday has come and gone. Saturday was the 23rd this weekend, and we started the countdown to the end of the world as we know it, but Saturday came and went, and nothing happened. Doomsday predictors, however, are not apologizing, they're doubling down. Now it's October. October is the month when the real shakeup is supposed to happen, the shakeup that portends the end of the world. So we're now looking at the date, October 15th. 33 was not the magic number as it was once supposed to be. They thought it was the magic number because Jesus lived 33 years. There are 33 expressions of Elohim, I guess, in the book of Genesis. So 33 was a magic number. And there were 33 days between the solar eclipse and September 23rd. Well, all of that ended up to be just what it is, numerology imposed on the scripture. But now 40, the magic number, 40 days after the total solar eclipse, will begin the time of the tribulation. So I guess we could start another countdown clock, but I don't know how many times it takes before people finally stop calling in with their questions after they listen to these doomsday predictors and realize that they are reading the Bible not in the sense in which it is intended, but rather imposing their presuppositions on the biblical text. And by the way, as they're doubling down, you can't forget the specifics. Remember Nibiru, or Planet X. It was to pass Earth on Saturday, and on Saturday we were supposed to see volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, earthquakes. Wouldn't it have been interesting if they would have got it right with Puerto Rico or Mexico or Irma or Harvey or any of the other events? But no, they don't get it right. Obviously, from the perspective of science, Planet X was a very obvious hoax, but people fall for the obvious hoaxes. And from the perspective of Scripture, the hoax is based on passages that have absolutely nothing to do with what is imposed on those passages. And I hope if you get one thing out of all of this, it is that today's pretenders, just like pretenders in centuries past, are dragging Christ's name through the mud. Quite on the opposite side of the spectrum, you have the Bible. And by the way, there's a contrast to be made here between the Bible and the Quran as well. because the Bible is replete with prophecies that could not have been fulfilled through chance or through good guessing or, for that matter, through deliberate deceit. And these prophecies provide powerful proof that God has spoken. I love the way the Bible puts this. It's not ambiguous at all. I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you, so you could not say my metal images did them, or my wooden images, or metal gods ordained them. Or in the words of Jesus, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does, you will believe. So we have prophets and apostles. They are able to fulfill the claim of being genuine because their prophecies actually come to pass. Today's pretenders, just as those in yesteryears, could not do that. And again, the Quran is a classic case in point. Daniel, in the Bible, writing 6 centuries before the advent of Christ, was empowered by Almighty God to do what the Muslim Allah could not, with awesome precision. It was incredible, the precision that Daniel was using. He predicted a succession of nations from Babylon to the Median and Persian empires, to the persecution and suffering of the Jews under the 2nd century Greco-Syrian beast, Antiochus IV, and Epiphanes. And by the way, this included his desecration of the Jerusalem temple, his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. And not only that, but the Bible is filled with prophecies identifying Jesus. And this is my favorite, to be quite frank with all of you, messianic prophecies. I mean, Jesus is identified as the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. He had to be a Jew, not only a Jew, or not any Jew. He had to be the Jewish descendant of Israel's quintessential king through Jesse, by way of Judah, and that in the lineage of Jacob. So God sovereignly directs the course of human history from the woman Eve who was deceived to the woman Mary who conceived. Now again, I have made plain that the problem is not just today's pretenders. Muhammad and Allah, Muhammad's alter ego, did the same thing. They made false prophecies, or they feigned prophetic brilliance, which wasn't prophetic brilliance at all. I write about that in the book Muslim. In sharp contrast to the prophecies which validate the divine origin of the Quran, they are conspicuous by their absence. So they're talked about, it's feigned prophetic pretense, but in reality, the emperor has no clothes. Well, what's more, even the prophecies that are feigned by Muslim apologists as evidence of the Quranic elegance that is talked about so often are vastly inferior at the face of it to biblical prophecies. So I've mentioned this before, the arrangement of the Quran is atrocious. It's a wearisome, confused jumble of words. Its prophetic prowess is, well, singularly unspectacular, and its elegance, too, is grossly overstated. So, bottom line, I hope more and more of you are in the position of using your discernment skills and not falling for these prophecy pundits that continuously predict the time of the so-called pre-tribulational rapture. And this has been happening in Christian circles for so long, One would think that we would eventually weary of it, but we don't. I mean, we had Hal Lindsey, we had Tim LaHaye, Chuck Smith. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, Chuck Smith, and he was a very, very significant person in the kingdom. But yet he was predicting when the pre-tribulational rapture would happen. And before he died, it was 2014 at the very latest, he said. He died before that. But all of these prophecies, I mean, one after another have failed. And eventually we have to realize that the Bible is not about predicting what's happening in the 21st century. The prophecies in the Bible demonstrate it to be an authority. And the prophets in the Bible are validated by their prophetic prowess. That's why we know God's words were on their lips and they did speak. And this is true also with the apostles. They are validated. They are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's not fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, which is the Bible is for certain prophetic, and it is accurate, but it's not talking about what happens in the 21st century. It is validating its own authority. I wanted to share a couple of testimonies as well today. I haven't done that for a while. Jody, a fairly new Christian, 2 years, says, "You've answered many, many questions for me, and I thank you. God bless you, Hank, and I pray that the Lord above heals your cancer." Hugo writes, "Hey, Brother Hank, thank you. Thanking God for helping you get through the last round of chemo. I reached my nadir, by the way, this weekend." It was nadir is the lowest spot in the road in terms of what happens after the chemo, and I got through that quite well by God's grace. On the BAM front, says Hugo, "I was using iHeartRadio to gather all my favorite podcasts earlier and obviously added yours to my follow list. I know I'm late to the party, as it were, but I added myself among the Spreaker followers. iHeartRadio is big in New York City. I was just there this weekend. So congrats on reaching that platform for all of us. Stay strong, stay true." Susan says, "This guy is great. I don't always agree with everything I hear, but I think it's the best talk show on religion today." I love that. Susan says, "I don't always agree with everything I hear." That's good. She's thinking. And that's precisely what we ought to do. We ought to examine or test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Nancy says, "I read your book, Mr. Hank, The Covering, and it really works. God's protection. Thank you for writing this great book. The Covering, of course, God's plan to protect you from evil. The premise being, if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty." And then Gary Jordan, "I receive daily email messages every day." The daily e-truths is what Gary is talking about. "I look for it every day. I pray for Hank's continued recovery and life free from pain and God's healing mercies always. Thank you, Jesus, for Hank's truth and commitment to your kingdom." So a lot of people writing in, thanking us for the broadcast. And of course, we have expanded our ministry from broadcast to podcasts. And we are in process of harnessing the digital media platforms. This is something that we have been called to do by our Lord, and that through a prophetic word from someone who can be trusted. After a while, you can tell those who are really in communication with the Lord from today's pretenders. We will go to the calls when we come back from the break. Do remember that the book Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, it will be available to the public October 10th, but you can get your copy personalized or autographed through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you want a copy autographed, simply support the ministry all this month. You can do that by simply going to the ministry through our website, equip.org, and giving in a generous fashion there. It's safe and security, but please be generous as you give. And if you want a personalized copy, please consider joining CRI's monthly support team. I'll personalize a copy of my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, to you, a family member, or to a friend. When we come back from the break, we'll go right to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. My gratitude to everyone who's standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I could not do what we do. The ministry could not do what it is doing 24/7 around the world. So again, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back with segment two in just a moment.
For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors. Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we will now go to your calls, 888-275-4265 or simply 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Al listening in Washington, D.C. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff? God bless you and your family, and again, praying for your health.
Thank you.
I have a question. Have you ever heard of a guy called Ray Haggins or Haggins?
Yes, we have. We have heard of him.
So I'm a black man. I obviously don't want to follow a belief just because it has a certain, race tied to it. And I'm a full blooded Christian. I believe in Christianity completely. But I just wanted to know if you had any information about him. He's talking a lot about there's no real Jesus Christ and there's no real religion and none of the characters are true. Just want to know if you knew anything about him.
Well, yeah, a couple things. Let me say this, Al. I mean, first of all, when you think about race, I think it's really important to remember Galatians chapter 3, where Jesus is said to be the royal seed of Abraham. And then we're told at the end of the chapter that if we are in Abraham's royal seed, then we are an heir according to the promise. It has nothing to do with your gender, has nothing to do with your race or ethnicity, has nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you are true Israel. So this idea is first and foremost in the mind of every Christian, and therefore we don't see each other as people that are inferior or superior. We don't believe in race in that sense. We only believe in race in the sense of running the race, and we look at every single human being as made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore the very notion of looking down on another human being because of their ethnicity or their genealogy is abhorrent to a true Christian ethic. But I think you pointed something out very wisely in the prologue to the question, Ray, and that is, this Ray Haggins starts, this Ray Haggins starts with a presupposition, as you noted, that Jesus never existed. And there's no warrant for that whatsoever, not only in the spiritual mind, but in the secular mind. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ did exist, and you don't have to rely solely on biblical references. You can look at extra-biblical references which underscore the reality that Jesus Christ existed. I mean, you look at the greatest historians of the Roman Empire, they all take the existence of Christ for granted. So this idea that Ray Haggins has, that Jesus didn't exist and that Christianity is based on, Egyptian religions, that becomes the prototype for Christianity, all of that is simply false, and it is patently and demonstrably false. So he has no leg to stand on from the standpoint of history, from the standpoint of Scripture, and certainly from the standpoint his contention that Christianity borrowed from ancient pagan religions.
Well, that's what kind of scares me. Well, here's what kind of scares me is that just like other religions that base themselves on on different races. You know, when I listen to him, you, if you don't know, if you don't read, if you don't study, you know, the stuff that he says can be pretty convincing, but that's what it is. If you don't study, I mean, he says a lot about, you know, how the Council of Nicaea and he mentioned three other councils, how they got together and they put the Bible together and they decided what was true and what wasn't true, and he named all these councils and all these different years, and it's pretty scary to hear it because he is really gaining some steam. I don't know how long he's been around, but he is really gaining some steam.
We should probably put a fact sheet out. I don't know if we have in our research department. Probably be a good idea. But yeah, there's so much misinformation about what happened at the Council of Nicaea. Yeah, in fact, a lot of people say that in that as a singularity, there were two councils in Nicaea, actually. But I think it's important for us to get a little better fix on what happened in the seven ecumenical councils. Oftentimes, people refer to them, but they do in sort of a conspiratorial way. So perhaps we can add that to our to-do list and make that information available as well. I think there's a problem, and I think you underscore it, Al, and that is we don't only have biblical illiteracy afoot in the land, but we also have historical illiteracy, and therefore people like this Ray Higgins can get away with giving a distortion of the facts. And, you know, again, people fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie.
Right, right. Well, Kanga, thank you so much. If there's any resource you can point me to just to help, you know, because I'm getting questions from people about these things and Facebook and different things. So if there's any resource you can point me to that I can kind of pull out and that will help with this issue.
Sure. A couple of things. One is this idea that Christianity borrowed from ancient pagan religions. I did an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on this. We also did an article in the Christian Research Journal on this, which should be up on the web at equip.org. In terms of having a fact sheet on Ray Higgins, I don't think we've done that. I have to check with our research department, but if we haven't, let me look into doing that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And again, God bless you and your health.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing, and someone just reminded me of this in studio. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal. It was titled The Origin and the Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement. That might be somewhat relevant to your point as well.
Okay, well, that would be great. Well, if it's up on the web, I'll go get it.
Well, I don't know if it's up on the web. It is up on the web. Okay. I get these hand signals. Someone just put their thumb up. It is on the web.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Hank, and again, God bless you and get well.
Bless you, my brother. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to take a Facebook question. This one is a very significant question, and I don't want to forget it today, so let me deal with it right now. It comes from Chuck. It's very, very tender. He talks about his wife and I deciding to be surrogate parents for my sister and her husband. We're planning on using my brother-in-law's sperm and my wife's egg, and my wife plans on carrying the child. My wife and I feel that it's a great blessing that we have a chance to do this for them, but we brought it up with our church, and they seem to frown on it. We prayed on it, and we feel we're doing the right thing, but it's starting to make us wonder what God feels, because our church doesn't like it. Did I miss something in the Bible? Now, that's a well-worded question, and I want to give a response to that question for Chuck and everybody else listening in. First of all, I think it's a great example that Chuck checked with the church before going further, and I think that's exactly the right thing to do. Get advice within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. But the second point I would make, and this is perhaps the salient point, is that the introduction of third parties through through sperm or egg donation or through the surrogate motherhood is inconsistent with the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. And the one flesh marital relationship becomes convoluted through this process. And this is so even through the particular form of surrogacy that is being talked about by Chuck and his wife. I mean, you talk about that as altruistic surrogacy. It stems from sacrificial love. It has nothing to do with money. This is sacrificial love. And again, Chuck and his wife are to be commended for being willing to sacrifice to that extent is a real testimony to their Christian character. But I want to go forward in saying that I think that the advice you got from the church is largely correct. I mean, I don't know what exactly they told you, but the premise of the advice is at least correct. And I'll tell you why. The foundation of the one flesh marital relationship in Genesis is quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember where he quoted in Mark chapter 10, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason a man will leave his mother and his father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. And I think the premise here is validated by example. In other words, by anecdotes within the scripture. For example, the potentially disastrous consequences of third-party involvement are demonstrated in the life of Abram and Sarai and Hagar. Not only that, but social science metrics show that surrogacy creates trauma for the baby separated from his or her birth mother and later identifies problems for the children of their teens and adulthood. I should probably in this vein also mention that if in vitro fertilization is to be used at all, the sperm and the egg should come from the husband and the wife committed to raising the child, and no more egg should be fertilized than the couple is willing to give a reasonable chance at full-term life. And that for a lot of reasons that I've written about in various publications, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, a great article in the Christian Research Journal comes to mind. It was titled, When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She. An important article you can find on the web at equip.org. Adoption is a good option. There are over 100,000 foster children waiting to be adopted in the United States alone, so that's a good option. I mean, that situation is already there. It's a present need, and so that would be a real good option to consider as well. Coming to the station break, we'll be back with a quote of the day and more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West, Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Robert Spencer, who was kind enough to write the foreword to my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. He's the director of Jihad Watch. He's the author of a number of New York Times bestsellers, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. And the quote of the day actually has to do with something that I mentioned at the opening of the show with respect to the Quran. It is rife with factual errors, with faulty ethics, and with feigned eloquence. And I was talking at the beginning of the show about its prophetic pretenses in relationship to the prophetic pretenses that you find in a lot of different streams, even of Christianity, and certainly the reason we had the countdown clock on our website with regard to this David Mead and his false prophecy, which went viral on the internet regarding what was going to happen on Saturday. All of that turned out to be a bunch of baloney, and we should have known that going in, but we wanted to underscore it once again. So hopefully people know that this is not just my guess these prophecy pundits are wrong, and that 100% of the time, every time. At any rate, Robert Spencer, the quote of the day from my book, Muslim, Robert Spencer appropriately says this, and I quote, "For a book that provokes so many charges that readers are taking it out of context, the Quran is remarkably decontextualized. Although it retells many biblical stories, usually in slightly altered form, in its overall form, it lacks the chronological arrangement of the Old Testament historical books or even the rough temporal movements of the Gospels. Instead, its 114 chapters or surahs are arranged by length from the longest to the shortest. The biblical stories and other narratives are distributed haphazardly throughout the book." And then Spencer goes on to explain how the first revelation Muhammad received from Allah is not near the front of the Quran, but 96 chapters into the book. And the chapter titles that you find in the Quran have little or nothing to do with the content within those chapters or surahs. Most of the chapters, like the cow, Surah 2, or the spider, Surah 29, or smoke, Surah 44, take their name from an apparently randomly chosen element of the chapter itself, and one does not necessarily have any particular importance. Only a few chapters, such as the spoils of war or booty, I'm talking about Surah 8, bears titles that actually summarize the contents. So again, the distinction between the Bible and the Quran is a distinction that should never be papered over with mere rhetoric. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sally in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I love it. I have a question here. We were raised, there's 10 of us kids, we were raised in a Christian home, both God-fearing Christian parents. I have one sister who we don't really know what she believes anymore. They've turned away. They said they believe in God, but yet some things about them, her kids, are kind of Muslim, Islam. We have no idea, but they state that they do not believe in Jesus as the Trinity, and that's heartbreaking to us because just one out of the whole 10 kids. She's proud of the fact that Muslim is the fastest growing religion. And so she's constantly telling me that us Christians are a cult. And I answered her this question this yesterday, and she said that Muslims are the fastest growing religion. If I knew that, and I said, yes, I do. And I'm proud of that because that proves the Bible is even truer. So... that proves that the Bible is true, you know, that wide is the road to destruction. And she didn't answer me about that. Now, how do I kind of get it over to her in a way that wouldn't really hurt her?
Well, nothing you say is going to hurt her if you do it with gentleness and with respect, but I love what you said already. I mean, it is absolutely true. That even within the broad swath of Christianity, there are many that take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips, but they deny the supernatural, very much like you find in cults and world religions. And I also like the fact that you brought up in the prologue to your question that in specific, what is denied is the resurrection and the Trinity and the incarnation and so forth. And so I think what's really important is not just to be able to dispel the myth of Islam, but to be able to underscore the truth of Christianity. C.S. Lewis said something very interesting. He said, the made-up religions are the simple ones. What else would they be? Because we're trying to create a God in our own image, someone that we can comprehend. In Christianity, we cannot comprehend the ineffable God who saves us. We can apprehend him, but we cannot comprehend him because he's far too big for limited human beings to be able to comprehend. And that's exactly as it should be, otherwise your God is too small. Now, that's not a cop-out. If the Trinity were illogical, we ought to dispense with it. But it's not illogical. It is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, so we call it supralogical. It's beyond the logic, but it is not irrational. In fact, quite interestingly, the Unitarian God of Islam is illogical, and not only that, but morally reprehensible, because the Islamic God, independent of the universe, cannot manifest the attribute of love, because there's no one to love. Only a God who is triune can manifest the attribute of love independent of the universe. In terms of saying that Christianity is a cult, well, it's quite the opposite. Actually, Islam is a derivative of Arabian paganism, of Christianity, and of Judaism, all misunderstood. So when you look at the stories told in the Quran, they are remnants of biblical stories, but they're confused. And when I say confused, why do we consider the Bible authoritative? It is because the facts point to its authority. You look at the biblical account of the flood in the Old Testament. Well, the facts correspond to reality. The description of the Ark of Noah is seaworthy. If you go to the pagan accounts, you have the cube-shaped ark, for example, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Babylonian account, is not seaworthy. I could go into many details about that, but the facts in the Bible correspond to reality. Exactly the opposite is true of the Muslim holy book. It does exactly the opposite. It does not correspond to reality, and that's why I talked earlier in the broadcast about the feigned eloquence, about the factual errors, as well as, which is really bad, it is the horrible parts of the Quran that teach people like men to beat their wives or teach polygamy. And polygamy is one of the reasons that Islam is growing so quickly. It is growing through rapid propagation because a Muslim man can have up to four wives. And that's why in the EU countries, where many of the EU native population people are self-aborting through euthanasia and through same-sex sexuality and through through abortion, many other reasons that could be given. The Muslims are filling that vacuum. They're polygamous and they're filling the vacuum. And eventually, what is Muslim demographically will become Muslim politically as well. So I think it's really important that you're able to answer her objections with gentleness and with respect. And quite frankly, this is why I wrote my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion.
Yeah. I was telling her I'm going to get that book and give it to her for Christmas. But I don't want to stir up anything because she doesn't believe in Thanksgiving, Christmas, anything, and she keeps telling us God is just an energy, and Jesus was just a good man, and we're a cult and all. I said, well, I'm very proud to be part of a Christian cult, very proud, and we as the rest of siblings, we put aside an hour every Friday evening to for the Holy Spirit to convict them and to feed for them, you know. And it's heartbreaking to see that they just turn that way, you know, has nothing to do with God anymore.
Well, God has left you here for a reason, and one of the reasons is what you just articulated, the reason that we ought to be praying. So thank you for your prayers.
Thank you for your show.
Well,
I listen to you every day.
Thank you so much for calling.
I just love it because I'm losing my sight, so I just listen to your show a lot.
Oh, wonderful.
And you know, I do pray for you.
Thank you so much. You know, I listened to a man named Paul speak yesterday, and he's completely blind. At one time, he was the most famous analyst for airlines 5 years in a row, and he was blind. Just amazing what he accomplished, even without the gift of sight. I'm so glad that you're using your life, that you're praying, that you set that time aside, that you're making a difference while there is yet time. And thank you so much for your kind comments about the show. I'm looking at the board, and I'd like to take some more calls, but unfortunately, I guess I'm a little too long-winded today, coming back into the studio after not being here for a few days. Hopefully, we'll be able to take your call. Ryan, call us tomorrow. You're first up if you call tomorrow. Yeah, and again, anyone that wants to call, 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. I'll be right back here doing a live show tomorrow. We're going to schedule some Facebook Lives in the very near future, as well as we continue our trek into social media. Studio coming around or along fantastically, and all of that is as a direct result of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Thank you. Do remember Muslim on the Way. To those who support this ministry all this month, be pleased to autograph a copy for you as well. See you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches.
888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.